Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 105, and we're going to begin reading in 1 Samuel 7 and the first two verses. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of Jehovah and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of Jehovah. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after Jehovah. Now, we discussed in our last study how the tabernacle had to have been brought to Kirjath-Jearim in Gibeon at some point during this 20-year period, or even perhaps in the years after. But at some point, it was. We know this for sure because of what we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, and actually some other places too. But in 1 Kings 3, it says in verses 3 and 4, "And Solomon loved Jehovah, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." So Solomon went to Gibeon, and Kirjath-Jearim is in Gibeon. It's one of the cities of Gibeon. And there he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And the reason is because the altar was with the tabernacle, and it was left in Kirjath-Jearim in Gibeon when David took the ark to Jerusalem, and David set up his own tent for it until the house of God that Solomon would build could be built. And that left the tabernacle that Moses had made in the wilderness in the great high place at Gibeon. Now, I believe at another time after the house of God was made, they brought the tent or the tabernacle and the other pieces of furniture and so forth that were a part of that tabernacle to the temple in Jerusalem. But for a time, it was without the ark in Gibeon. And so it was called a great high place. And a high place was what was known as a place of religious worship that was outside of God's ordained place. When the tabernacle was in Shiloh, that is where the Israelites should have worshipped. When the ark and the tabernacle was in Shiloh, and when the ark was moved to Jerusalem, Jerusalem became the place where Israel should worship. But throughout the land of Israel, there could have been found religious objects or relics of historical significance, because we have the history of the Bible. And for instance, when Jacob set a stone for his pillow, and God visited him in the night and spoke of a ladder, and Jacob said that this is none other than the house of God, that place became Bethel. And so it wasn't surprising when the kingdom was divided and Jeroboam became king of Israel in the north, that he established another system of worship because he didn't want his people going to Jerusalem and Judah any longer. So he established his own altar at Bethel, a place of religious historical significance or of biblical significance. And the Israelite people would have been familiar that is the place that Jacob had communication with God. And so it made it much more acceptable as an alternative to the true system of worship. In other words, the men of old were just as wily and as deceitful as men of today. Today, men take the Christian name and the name of church, and they take the Bible, they take all of the religious trappings, and they develop their gospel, they develop their church, their denomination, their system of worship, and it all looks very legitimate, very much of God. After all, they have the Bible, they have a hymn book, and they have a ceremony that seems fairly traditional, and perhaps they do have a long history. And actually, that's how many religious high places develop, based on history. Something happened long ago, and as a result, as it has come down to the generations, the generations of believers that follow dare not meddle with what that great reformer said, or with what their denominational stance has been in the confession or in the creed. They do not meddle with these things because, well, it has taken on a special significance, and so men think that they have become so holy. The writings of Calvin or Luther or another reformer are so holy now, and the things that they have been involved with, we dare not mess with them. We dare not try and make any correction to them. And this is how high places work out in our modern day. But let's think more about what happened in the days of the Bible that we're reading about. Now, in 1 Chronicles 16, we read, beginning in verse 37, of a divided worship system that began when the ark was transported to Jerusalem, but the tabernacle remained in Gibeon. And it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 37, "So he left there before the ark of the covenant of Jehovah, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required, and Obed-Edom with their brethren, 80. Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa to be porters." So these individuals, Asaph and his brethren, and Obed-Edom with their brethren, were ministering before the ark. And we know that David had taken it to Jerusalem. But then in verse 39, it says, "And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest, before the tabernacle of Jehovah in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto Jehovah upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of Jehovah, which he commanded Israel." So David had a bit of a problem because the ark had been carried up to Jerusalem. But the daily sacrifices and all the other sacrifices had to be offered on the altar that remained with the tabernacle that was back in Gibeon. Now, why David didn't just have the tabernacle and the altar and all the furniture of the tabernacle brought to Jerusalem, I don't know. And I don't think the Bible explains or gets into that at all. But this is the historical situation that developed. For whatever reason, the ark was taken to Jerusalem and the tabernacle remain behind. Now, just as the tabernacle remained behind in Shiloh for that 7 months' time, when the ark went into battle and then was captured by the Philistines, the ark was in the land of the Philistines, and the tabernacle and the altar remained in Shiloh. Now we know from this that God was not pleased with Israel, that he was actually pouring out his wrath upon them, judging them for their unfaithfulness, and yet they could have continued to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices because they still had the altar in Shiloh, and perhaps they did. We're not told anything about that, but here's what God does say in Psalm 78 concerning the tabernacle. It says in verse 59 of Psalm 78, when God heard this, well, let me back up so we understand what God heard in verse 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth, and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity, and his glory into the enemy's hand. Here, God is telling us through this psalm that he was already angry because of Israel's tendency to worship in high places rather than according to God's own dictates and in the manner that the Lord prescribed. They were to go to the place that he chose and to worship him as God would have them to worship. But, you know, it's so much more convenient if you happen to have a high place that's nearby. Something happened in Bethel, and Bethel's not that far from your location, much closer than Shiloh. Or all sorts of high places began popping up. The land of Israel was just full of historical events that someone could have manipulated and began to teach, well, this is a religious holy site, and that is a religious holy site. Just look at the tours they give of the so-called Holy Land today in Jerusalem, and they'll show you places where Christ was crucified and where the body of Christ was taken, and all these places become holy in the eyes of man. And it's like some have developed in our day the idea of worshiping Saturday evening to make it more convenient for people so they can do whatever they please on Sunday, which in our society is probably watching football. And so man has always tried to make the worship of God more convenient, more easy, more user-friendly, to use our modern term, and that has always angered God. No, if the Lord wanted to establish high places under every high hill and grove, he would have done so. But he is the one who set his tabernacle in Shiloh. He's the one who later established it in Jerusalem. And yes, on certain times of the year, the men of Israel were to visit. They were to drop everything and come to worship as God had ordained. But here the Lord finally, as he historically forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, and again spiritually to establish that picture of the judgment on the churches, he forsook the tabernacle, the tent, which he placed among men, by delivering his strength into captivity, his glory into the enemy's hand. And we read that in 1 Samuel 4 when the ark was taken and the woman named her child Ichabod because the glory of Jehovah had departed from Israel. The glory of God had left, which was typified by the Ark of the Covenant. And so it didn't matter that the tent was left behind and that the altar was there and other religious trappings. None of that mattered at all. God had forsaken them. Just like in the churches and congregations when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, departed out of the churches of the world. Well, the churches still have all the religious trappings. They have their buildings, their pews, and the Bibles in the pews, and their hymn books. They have the pastor and elder and deacons, the spiritual authorities that were once established by God. They have everything, and it's all right there. And so they continue to worship, probably just as the inhabitants of Shiloh continued to worship at the altar and at the tabernacle, minus the Ark of the Covenant. And yet God didn't accept that worship. And notice that the place of Gibeon, after the Ark is taken to Jerusalem by David, it is called a high place. Yes, it's a great high place. Really, you can't get any more spiritual or religious significance than the tabernacle that Moses made in the wilderness and the brazen altar that Bezalel was commanded to make. Certainly, this had all the outward appearance of holiness and of God's blessing, but it was nothing more, the Bible calls it, than a great high place. That is, of all the high places, this became the greatest. And Solomon sought unto it, or he involved himself in it. Now, we know that God did overlook the high places for a period of time of Israel. Many of the most faithful kings of Judah, they're said to have done well and their heart was right in the sight of the Lord, except a statement would be made, and this is made of a king like Jehoshaphat, for instance, who was a very godly king, and the statement is made, except he did not take away the high places. And it's made of several kings like that, that were, we would say, true believers, faithful men, yet this statement remained, they did not remove the high places. And God allowed that. And so even Samuel will find, Lord willing, if we continue in the study of 1 Samuel, Samuel himself has involvement with the high places. We can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 9. But God was never pleased with the high places, even if true believers and faithful men had involvement with them. That doesn't make it right. And just like throughout the church age, the churches and congregations maintained their high places, and there were true believers in the churches, and they never managed to remove the high places of the congregations either. But it never makes it right. Now, Solomon, in addition to visiting the great high place, he got into trouble by building more of them. We read in 1 Kings chapter 11, and I'll read verses 4 through 8. It says, therefore, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and Solomon did evil in the sight of Jehovah, and went not fully after Jehovah, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now this tells us that this happened when Solomon was old, and he began to reign in 971 B.C., and he reigned 40 years until 931. So probably sometime 933 or 32 or 31 itself, somewhere around there, King Solomon finally, after more than likely much persuading from his collection of wives, he built a high place. Well, if you built one wife a high place, you better build the rest of the wives high places. And they were from various nations, and they all would have had different gods. And so he ended up getting into greater and greater sin. And you know, notice that this is a result of his initial sin of multiplying wives. And perhaps he kept them at bay for years and years. But just as Delilah kept at Samson, his wives more than likely kept at him. And until they would get their way, and finally, in a moment of weakness, he gave in. He built their high places. And this became a great cause of trespass for Israel. And these high places remained intact for hundreds of years. Jehoshaphat and Ahaziah and other kings did not remove Solomon's high places. We read of one king that did remove high places. It was King Hezekiah. And we read in 2 Kings 18 of Hezekiah in verse 4, and it says, he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now, this is speaking of Hezekiah, who was a very godly king, and he did well, very good in the eyes of the Lord. He did go about removing the high places, but he did not remove them all, because he did not destroy the high places that Solomon made. We know that's true because we'll read that of a later king, Josiah. And so it doesn't say he removed all the high places, but he went about removing some of them. And there's just a great number of these things in the land of Israel. And you know, when God says, as he does in some places, that Israel was involved in idolatry or false worship under every tree and high and on every high hill, we tend to take it as hyperbole, but actually there was an enormous number of high places. Just to get an idea, look around the churches. How many high places do they have? And variants of the same in the different denominations. That these things tend to take on a life of their own, and man is quick to make them, and even quicker to multiply them. And so it was not an easy task to remove them. Notice that also Hezekiah break in pieces the brazen serpent Moses had made. So not only places, but things that God had been involved with in the history of Israel. And it was the Lord who commanded Moses to make the brazen serpent, so those who were bitten by serpents might be healed. And there was nothing wrong with that item, with that object, except in those days the children of Israel began to burn incense to it. They began to apply or give it a spiritual and religious significance God never intended. So even though God commanded it be made, and of course he had his reasons for doing that, it was correct of Hezekiah to break it in pieces. And it's the same thing with the tabernacle. God commanded the tabernacle to be made. But if men were going to treat the tabernacle without the ark of the Lord in a very religious way, well, that also would not be pleasing to God. We'll continue looking at high places a little bit more before returning to 1 Samuel 7 as we get together in our next Bible study.